On this week's episode of the Maz Hakim podcast, we have the one and only John Lee. Welcome to the Maz Hakim podcast.
And Maz, thank you so much for having me.
So John, I want to know a little bit about your background and how you became a successful entrepreneur.
So I started working in my mum's Chinese takeaway as a dishwasher. I then went to college, university, became an animator. And do you know what it's like, Maz, when you have this dream of doing something and you really want to start being involved in it? And the issue is when you get to that level in your career, you go, oh my God, I've got everything now. And is that it? So then I decided to embark on the journey of entrepreneurship, but I wasn't that good at business. So I thought, what's the easiest thing I can do? Buy a house and sell it. So I started investing in real estate. And funnily enough, a lot of the wealth that I accumulated was actually during the in the 2008 crash. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So there was a moment where you saw I guess you saw an opportunity during the recession, right?
Well, you know, in Chinese, we have this saying called Weizi, and it's made up of two characters. One of the letters by itself means danger. The other one means opportunity. So that means in every crisis, there is an opportunity. So when everyone's buying, you sell. When everyone's selling, you buy. And so that's how I've kind of got used to it. I was like, why can I buy property so cheap, like 20, 30% off? Because it's all supply and demand, but it's getting into that timing. And I guess I got lucky.
And I read that there was a moment in your life where someone gave you Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that really sort of helped change the course of your life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when you go to school, get a job, your parents want you to become a doctor, an accountant. I was never, you know, I wasn't academically bright. I didn't do that well at school. But what I realized is that everyone's going out and earning active income. So you trade time for money, and every hour that you work, you get paid for it. So what this book, you know, my best friend Darren, he basically talked about this concept of creating passive forms of income. He said, you should read about it. And I never knew that there was a way that you could actually create something that could actually create money for you. So this is when I started to realize, wow, instead of trading time for money, I want to create active and turn that into a passive form of income.
And how did that go with Chinese parents? Because academia is very important when it comes to the Chinese culture.
Well, you know, my parents are, you know, quite traditional. They worked in a Chinese takeaway and, and, you know, now they're retired. But It's kind of like this entrepreneurship. People think you're crazy when you tell them what you want to do. They say, oh, you got this idea, and they think you're loopy or something until they start seeing the results. So those people that say it sounds a bit crazy are the same people that see you 10 years later and say, hey, John, how did you do that?
Yeah. And what inspired you to start your own business? How did you decide on your niche?
So I started investing in real estate, and in the first 6 months, I bought 35 houses. And because I...
Wow.
Yeah, I found a specific strategy that was able to allow me to acquire assets. Basically, because you have to use this concept called OPM, other people's money. So it's all about how you finance deals and how you find the deals below its market value.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people kept saying to me, John, you're buying this house and this house and this house. And of course, my lifestyle started to increase. And people kept asking questions like, you know, what is it you do now, you know, with this funny look? And I would tell them, and they got so fascinated, man, so that they say, well, can you show me how to do it? So I would sit down with them, go for coffee and go for another coffee and another coffee, until every day I was literally sitting down with people having coffee. And so that's how I got into this, I guess, consulting, where people would ask me questions, and I'd have, you know, 10 people come to my house and then come to my office. And then when it gets to 20, 30, 50 people, now as you know, being here in Dubai, like speaking to thousands and thousands of people, it kind of, that's how it grew. That's how the niche formed.
And I'm reading a book at the moment by Brené Brown, and it's called Daring Greatly. And she talks about the power of vulnerability, but also being daring. Did you find at any point in those first 6 months when you succeeded so quickly and bought so many properties, you had to be daring, right, and have no fear?
Well, fear stands for false evidence appearing real. Face everything and run, or face everything and rise. And so whenever you get into something, actually, if you look at the definition of entrepreneurship, it actually says taking on financial risks in the hope of profit. not guarantee, in the hope of profit.
Hope. Okay.
So we've got to take some kind of risk. But here's the thing. Whenever you go into the fear of the unknown, you don't know what's going to happen. So the way you get around it, Maz, is you've got to de-risk it. Now, how do you de-risk? By finding a mentor, by finding a coach, by getting educated, by reading books, by attending training programs, by listening to your podcast when you have incredible guests come on.
Yeah.
You it's taking a bit of that knowledge so you're not making the same mistakes like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. So you've talked about the importance of mindset when it comes to success. Can you share maybe three specific examples of techniques that helped you in your journey?
So the first one is you have to know that you're going to fail, right? So if you're going to fail, you fail forward. Like, a lot of people don't want to fail, and that's why they procrastinate and you get this overwhelming analysis paralysis. So actually, you need to take massive action first and then you fail forward. That's number one. Okay. Number two, you got to make sure that you are equipped with what the tools are around you that help you move forward in the market, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, AI technology, whether it's, you know, going into different markets. But you've got to look at what's making your job and your journey easier. So I'm always looking for what I call strategic partnerships. When I find these partnerships, instead of you having to do everything yourself, you find other people and you leverage off that. That's the second thing. Mm-hmm. And third thing, I definitely with mindset, is gotta have a growth mindset. You know, a lot of people, when they start business, they're always in this competition. There is no such thing as competition, man. There is collaboration,
uh-huh.
right? You got to get into that collaboration to work with other people, because when you work with other people and you're leveraging off that, you got to come from this mindset instead of scarcity where I don't want to share anything to abundance. Hey, there's plenty for everybody.
That's really interesting. Would you give the same advice to real estate agents? There's a lot of real estate agents in the UAE, for example, and some of them can be quite competitive with one another. But like you mentioned, collaboration is really important. What's your advice to any real estate agents listening?
Well, think about it, right? Agents, their number one job is to sell real estate, which means you need two things. One, you need to have the stock. Two, you need to have the buyers. So let's say I'm going to sell a property in downtown. Like, I'm going to have certain buyers with a certain buying capacity. And if I've got a piece of real estate and that person can't buy it, guess what? Then I lose the deal. So you can either have, you know, 100% of nothing or 50% of something. So if real estate agents listening to this, they should really find other real estate agents. They should compare, you know, what stock they have, because you never know that someone who buys one property here might buy a property somewhere else. So that's why it's always important to collaborate. And, you know, now you see a lot of people using social media, and mm-hmm. and I always have this formula where it says awareness times attention equals income. Awareness, I see you. Attention, I consume you. And therefore, it spreads. So I definitely think that people need to definitely start doing collaboration deals. Like, when I started, I would, you know, in the first time in real estate, I would find people who could have more buying power than me. Right. So the bigger deals I would give to them, the smaller deals they would give to me.
Right. That's beautiful. I love that. And I think that applies to anything in life. Like, we're all one if we help out each other. And that's also a manifestation technique as well. So Robin Sharma, who wrote The Monk Who Sold the Ferrari, The 5 a.m. Club and The Everyday Hero Manifesto, he says adversity builds mastery. So you must fail in life to achieve greatly. Is there a moment in your life where you experienced failure and that really shaped you as a person?
I mean, if you speak to any entrepreneur, any millionaire, any billionaire, I guarantee you they have lots of things that happen in their life that just change the whole trajectory of where you're going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in many businesses. I've had many business partners. I've had many colleagues and, you know, people who are supposed to be your friends or your brothers. And, you know, unfortunately, you have to diversify, right? And so for me, I learn a lot of things. Number one, the first lesson is always get legal protection.
Yeah.
Number two is you, like, because I'm dyslexic, I don't like to read paperwork. And there's been so many times in my journey where, you know, one line or one phrase or one paragraph is, like, you know, been interesting.
Yes.
And so you've got to make sure that you have the ability to fail forward, as I mentioned before. And mm-hmm. when adversity comes, you're not saying to yourself, why this has happened to me? Instead, you say to yourself, what opportunity do I have to learn from this and grow? Because now anytime I get into business, right? Those things I learned from the last business, I learn in the new business. Uh-huh. And so, you know, rather than being gung-ho in something, you might want to take a step back and go, you know, let's see how this plays out first. Instead of jumping into bed with business partners and you know, making these businesses immediately, like, just take a step back and just go, let's see how the first 3 months pan out. Mm-hmm. 6 months, because the saying, as it says, how you do anything is how you do everything.
And what are your thoughts on feng shui when it comes to money? Are you a big believer in feng shui?
You know, I'm Chinese, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I truly believe in that. Badzi, feng shui. And I have a friend of mine in Malaysia, and he's incredible at this stuff. And, you know, he'll look at your birth date, when you were born, your chart. And actually, if you look at anyone who's born in the year of 81, right? Like, say this year, people listen to this. Uh-huh. You'll find there are interesting things happening in your life right now. Right? So challenges, but challenges really made for you to grow. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely, I always look at, you know, for example, when Chinese people, they like the letter 8, for example, all right, or the number 8, right? Or specific, there was a property I saw in Malaysia, and it's, I don't know if you've seen the film Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes, of course I have.
So there's one of the houses there, which I was looking at buying, and I had my friend come and he says, don't buy it. I said, why? It's because when the door opens and it basically backs onto all this sort of depth. And so if there's no water nearby, if there's no mountain behind you to, you know, kind of support you. Correct. So there's all these different things of what you should and shouldn't do. Like, you know, if there's challenges in your life and you get these little pieces of rice and you put them by your window, and there's so many different things. And it sounds a bit fluffy, but, you know, I truly believe that the mind will manifest into its life what you believe.
Yes.
So if you believe that great things will happen, they will just manifest in your life. Mm-hmm. Likewise, it's the same for the opposite. So isn't it true that we think about something and, you know, what can happen will happen if you keep focusing on it. Where energy goes, like, your focus flows.
Focus flows. Yeah. So true. I'm a huge believer in manifestation and in feng shui as well. I've got a little lucky cat by my door. So I'm hoping that brings more abundance. You mentioned manifestation. Do you have any manifestation techniques that you can share?
So breath work's important,
yes.
Exercise is important, and energy is important. You know, there's a saying that says, if you feel that you're stressed, because your mind can't tell, if you think about something, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, your mind can't tell whether you're telling the truth. So let's do this exercise together. Okay. So get two fingers like this.
Okay.
Okay, and I want you to put it like this. So we're going to interlace our fingers, okay? And then on three, I want you to pull it and say yes, okay? So make sure it's pretty tight. Okay. 1, 2, 3, yes.
Yes.
Right? No, just keep it. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Yes. Yes. So if you pull it like that, and then we said again, this time I want you to say no. Okay.
Okay.
And so 1, 2, 3, no.
No. Ah.
You see? So the yes is stronger than the no.
Yes.
Right? And so we are speaking to our subconscious. So when you're thinking, your unconscious doesn't know whether it's the truth or not.
Yes.
And so that's why how manifestation is created. It's created from that inception.
Mm-hmm. So what are three techniques? If someone is listening now and they think, oh, I'm working a 9-to-5 job, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to make some extra money, what are three things they can do right now to make them some extra passive income?
First one is, we are living in the creator economy, digital nomad. I mean, Dubai is all my friends are coming here. Everyone's like, move to Dubai. So becoming a digital creator is one of the best things you can do, mm-hmm. okay? Because now all social media platforms are paying you money to use the platforms.
Yes.
Right? Number two, and I always find this is the best way for people to start who are completely new, mm-hmm. is you create some value and you joint venture with other people. Okay,
right.
So for example, you know, you've heard of, you know, ChatGPT-3, yeah. all this technology.
I'm obsessed with chat.
Right, so I say to people, you know what? Copy someone's text, put it into ChatGPT and say, make it better, improve it. And then when you improve it, you send it back to the person and said, hey, I went to your website, I read your text, I thought it could be used improving. Here's my improved version. The guy goes, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yes.
Like, can I hire you to write my stuff? So that's another way you could do it.
Okay.
Right? A third thing, which I think is super powerful, is you either become an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur. So when you're starting a business, you've got to look at what are the pain points, what's the market, what's the pain, and what solution are you providing?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's really simple, Maz. Find out what people want, create it, and give it to them.
Yes, brilliant. Love that. So you're in Dubai at the moment. Tell us a little bit about why you're here, business or pleasure?
Bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, I right now in the UK it's snowing, so yeah. I'm glad I'm here right now.
Yeah.
Where the weather is perfect, uh-huh. And apparently I've come at the perfect time.
You have, yes.
So as I'm here, of course, you know, you and I get connected on social, yes, as well. And so I'm doing a lot of these sort of interviews, and, mm-hmm, you know, some people ask me to come share some knowledge on some of the stages as well. So yeah, it's just incredible to be here, and I have friends flying in from Silicon Valley, and Toronto. My managing director Diana, she's just incredible. So we come to this place because every time I come to Dubai, it's such a different energy. And you know, we could do all this stuff on Zoom, but why do it in Zoom when we can be in the Palm, or we can be in a nice beach club, and we just inspire the environment, inspires the thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results.
And you mentioned earlier a lot of your friends around the world. I mean, everyone's saying move to Dubai. There is definitely a magic in Dubai. And do you feel inspired when you come here?
Absolutely. Like, do you know what I feel is different here? Like, I travel all around the world, right? And when I come to Dubai, it's, you know, remember I talked about scarcity and abundance? Like, if I go to somewhere like Asia, there's parts in Asia where you would sit down and have a coffee with somebody, or you'd have dinner, and people would be very sort of resistant to imparting knowledge and contacts.
Yes.
When I come here, it's like, oh my God, what do you need? I don't know how to get it, but let me introduce you to this person, this person, and this person, and this person. And I feel here is definitely, in my personal opinion, is very collaborative.
Yes. You used that word before, and I love that. It is, everybody's willing to help out one another, and there is an abundance of everything. And, you know, it is a real blessing living here. John, where can we follow your journey? Where can we reach out to you and get more nuggets of advice?
Yeah, you can go on any social media platform, or you can go to johnlee.com.
Love that. Thank you so much, John. Thank you for joining us on the Maz Hakim Podcast. Maz.